from a movie based on a book called The Shack. You may have heard of it. It was a big deal a while back. But it gets us where we'd like to go, not just today, but over the next few weeks. With so much going on today with kids and baptism, and really the weight of this subject of this series we've entitled Church Hurt, we just want to let God set you up this morning and lay a foundation for what I believe he's going to do in our church over the next three Sundays as we talk about hurt and letting go and a lot of those things. But I need your help. I've had so many conversations. It wasn't that long ago, maybe 7 years ago, that I would have said church hurt. Yeah, that's the thing for like 10% of our people at Relentless. And as I've had more conversations, I don't know the percentage, but it's way more than 10% of the people in this room that have a story or a history of being hurt through or by a church. So it's the first time I've preached on that specifically because it's necessary. We're hoping, we joked and prayed in our staff meeting this week, we hope that we don't hurt you in our series on church hurt. But I need your help. So we're doing something we've never done before. Woo-wee! Never done this before. We're going to ask you to submit questions. All right, so there's a QR code on the screen, or about to be, and you can scan that with your phone. This is okay. I want you to do this now, right? If you're messing with your phone today, I'm assuming you're submitting a question, not checking social media, so you're in the clear. So it's going to be up here the whole service, so anytime we go, and maybe, just maybe, if we have time, we'll answer some of those questions today, but if not today, we're going to include them in the rest of this series. So if you got a question about something about church hurt right now, you can scan that. It's real easy. We tried to make it easy. If you can't figure it out, I'm pretty sure it's a you problem. But put in your question, and if we don't answer it today, we'll try to include it going forward in this series. So we want to answer the questions that you're asking, but you got to help me. You got to help me help you. So if it's a really heavy question, that's okay. If it's a really hard question, that's okay. I have no pressure to answer all your questions. We just think questions are how we grow. Questions are welcomed here. Some of you have been part of a church where you got in trouble for asking questions, right? Questions is how we're not scared of questions about anything, right? It's how we grow. It's how we learn. So if you have a question that's not on your mind now, but it comes to your mind in 10 minutes, then submit it. Throw it up there. And maybe it'll be on the screen. Maybe it'll be answered next week. I don't have all the answers to your questions. This is how we want to do it. There were those that love me and surround me. Thankfully, I have wisdom on our team that said, because I was going to do the microphones live Q&A, and they're like, oh, you can't do that. I was like, why not? Because you don't know what somebody's going to say. And I was like, that's what makes it fun. All right, but they're smarter than me, so we're going to do it this way. So if you ask something way inappropriate, it probably won't be on the screen. But that's the 11 o'clock people that would do that. You guys would never do something like that in here. But before we get to church hurt, this isn't a bait and switch. We're going to get to church hurt in this series. But before we get to that, as we open this up, we got to deal with the foundation before we can go anywhere. We got to build something in these 3 weeks, because I believe God's going to do some beautiful, powerful things in your lives through this series. But before we get to church hurt, we've got to get to forgiveness. So we got to sit in that. And I know that makes some people uncomfortable. The more uncomfortable you are hearing a message about forgiveness, the more excited I am about what God's about to do in your life, right? So if you're like, oh, don't hit me with the forgiveness stuff, right? Then you need to be here and you need to lean into what God wants to do. We don't know how to define forgiveness. That's part of the problem. We have all kinds of misunderstandings about what it is. So let me give you a few things. Forgiveness first is a decision, not a feeling. Some of you have been waiting, like Tiffany was waiting to come to church, you know, over all these invitations. You're waiting, right? It's a decision, not a feeling. If you're waiting for the feeling, like I feel like forgiving somebody, you're going to be waiting the rest of your life. It's a decision you make, not a feeling you have. And we're going to go with this definition over the next few weeks. It's a decision to let go of the debt someone owes you, someone or something. Maybe it's a church. It's a decision to let go that you make of a debt that somebody owes you. I love this quote to encourage some of you that are scared. I want to turn that fear of what if I let go of what I've been holding on to, some of us for years. Some of you are going to forgive somebody in the next 3 weeks that's dead. You're going to let go of somebody who did something to you that is long gone from this earth, and there's so much freedom in that. So I love this quote from Lisa Turkhurst. She says, "Forgiveness is you driving a stake into the ground of today and declaring, I deserve to stop suffering because of what others have done to me." We're praying that that stake into the ground is going to happen in your life, if not today, in the next few weeks. If you're like, man, I don't need to forgive anybody, then that tells me a couple things about you. One of two things. Either you're 5 years old or you're not being honest. All right, so we all have things that we got to let go of, and we're going to ask God to highlight those and to help us let go of these things. Let's go back. We just finished the study of Colossians, so I hope you remember this if you're in a small group or if you came to our series. And we spent like 2 minutes on this, but it's way bigger than that. This is who we're supposed to be as a fellowship, as a community. We bear with each other. We forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. And I just, this message would be so much easier if that period could just end the verse. Anybody's got a grievance? You forgive them. Let's move on. The problem is that's not all. It's a standard of forgiveness. How do we forgive? As the Lord forgave you. That's a completely different message if we're going to forgive as the Lord forgave. How did Jesus forgive us? There's a lot of things. I'll mention two. Totally, right? It was complete. And second, Jesus' forgiveness was based nothing on deserving it. That's so hard. Because when I need to forgive somebody, it's a lot easier to forgive them if I feel like they deserve the forgiveness. But that's not forgiving as the Lord forgave me. That's a human version of forgiveness, which we got to run from. And I've studied it, and I tried to find some loopholes because this is a hard message to preach. There's just not any. There's just no wiggle room in this. This is what we do. This is a decision we make to forgive as the Lord forgave us. Let me illustrate it with probably my favorite story that Jesus told. Now, you need to understand, as I remind you of this story, I'm going to skip to the end of this story. Some people call it the story of the prodigal son, which is dumb because nowhere in the story does it use the word prodigal. It's a story of a father and two sons, younger son and an older son. And prodigal, nobody knows what that means, so we don't use that word. But it's a story Jesus made up so you would know what God's really like. Isn't that valuable? The Son of God comes. He's getting attacked because he's hanging out with the wrong people. That's the setup for the story. They're saying you can't hang around these people because they're sinners. You shouldn't be with them if you claim to be anything remotely godly. You can't be with them. So he told a story about a shepherd losing a sheep, a woman losing a coin, and when they found the sheep and when they found the coin, it says all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents, turns, and comes home. There's a party in heaven for what's going to happen in our 11 o'clock service today. So he told the story of a lost sheep, a lost coin. Then he told this story of the two sons so we would know from the source, the Son of God, what the Father is really like. So the Father in the story represents God. So if you don't know the story, let me give you the really quick build-up to the verses I want to get to. Younger son comes to the dad and says, I want my inheritance. I don't want to wait till you die. I want it now. Really disrespectful. And the father says, okay. And he gives him the money. And he doesn't go down the street. He goes to another country with this money. And he lives wild. He throws big parties. He gets a lot of friends. But eventually, he doesn't spend 80% of this inheritance or 94%. He spends 100%. The entire inheritance. I think it was just going to be one party. I don't know this. I think it was going to be one party, and then it went so well, and he loved how people treated him as the one throwing the party, and he couldn't stop. Next thing he knows, the entire inheritance that he asked his living father for was spent and gone. And if, as some of you may know, once the money's gone, the friends are right behind it. So now he's got no party, no money, no friends, and he's not hungry. He's starving. Some of you may know the difference between hungry and starving. He's not hungry. He's not going to live if he doesn't get food. So he has this idea, I could go back home, but that'll never work because of what I've done to my dad. So he rehearses this speech. The speech goes like this: I'm not worthy to be your son. If I could just be your servant and live on the property, at least if I don't do this, I'm going to die of starvation. So he's practicing this speech. It's a long journey back home. It's extra long because he's not had anything to eat. So he's in a bad place. He goes this long journey. He finally walks back on his property expecting, and everybody that's listened to Jesus make up this story to let us know who God is, everybody listening to Jesus 2,000 years ago was like, oh, the dad's going to let him have it. And Jesus tells a story that while he was a long way off, the father was looking, and he saw him, and he runs to him, right? So the natural reaction for this younger son is, how hard is he going to hit me? Is it going to be a flying elbow, or is it going to be a drop kick? What's he going to come with? We don't see old men run much, so he knows, oh, this isn't going to go well. And in this scene, this picture that Jesus paints so that we in 2025 wouldn't have to wonder what God's really like, this father runs to him, and he hugs him. I was going to say he picked him up. It doesn't say that. In my mind, he picks him up. It's that kind of bear hug, and he kisses him. He hugs him, and he kisses him. That's the reaction he gets for coming home. And that's where we're going to pick up of what happens, because this is important for our forgiveness. So the son, what are you going to do if dad comes, he doesn't hit you, he hugs you? So he just goes right to his speech. Well, Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. What I'm trying to draw your attention to is what the dad says in response to this statement. Nothing. He ignores it. He hasn't seen his son in who knows how long. His son comes, he hugs him, he kisses him, and his son starts the speech. I can't be your son, I'm not worthy. He completely ignores the speech, and he starts talking to other people. Quick, he says. Father said to his servants, quick, robe, ring, and rebox. That's what he says. Watch. You don't believe me? Bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Okay, it doesn't say rebox, but robe, ring, sandals doesn't have the same ring as robe, ring, rebox. Bring the fattened calf, kill it, let's have a feast, let's celebrate. Why? This son of mine was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and is found, so they began to celebrate. The dad is saying, I'm not listening to your speech because you're talking about what you've done. I'm talking about who you are. And because you don't live in your identity, you don't think that you're worthy to be my son because of your sin, I'm gonna help you act like who you are. I'm gonna dress you, we're gonna eat, we're gonna party. This isn't a fake party, we're actually celebrating because you were dead and you came home. And I'm not talking about what you did, I'm talking about who you are. You're my son. Super offensive, right? If you know the story, the older son, I ain't going in there. I will not party, I'm not. Because why? Because he doesn't deserve it. Dad, he took your money and blew it doing who knows what. He doesn't deserve it. And the deserving just isn't in play. This is a story Jesus told so we would understand who God is. Now, based on that story that Jesus told, we got to go back to forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's the standard, right? And we could use a lot of scriptures other than that story. But as the Father came to the Son in that story, that kind of forgiveness is the kind of forgiveness we're supposed to give to each other. And I've been doing this for a few years. I've heard two major objections to this teaching in my career. Am I old enough to say in my career? Am I? I was hoping you'd say no. There was a confident yes over here. All right, so in my career, I've heard two main objections to this idea of forgiving like the Lord forgave us. One is this: well, you don't know what's been done to me. And you're right, that is correct. I do not know, and even if I do know, I can't fully understand what has happened to you. Here's what I do know: there's a God in heaven that wants to free you from what you're carrying that is not your fault. Can we please make sure that we can say clearly and boldly that what happened to you was not your fault? But you still have a responsibility to trust what God wants to do that. And what does he want? He wants to free you from what has been done to you and the effects of what you're carrying from that. The second thing that I hear over and over is, all right, forgive as the Lord forgave. Well, you know the difference between me and him? He's God, I'm not. So good for Jesus, he forgives like that, but I'm not Jesus, I can't do that. Again, correct, you cannot. Let me take some of the pressure off. It is a decision that you make, not a feeling, but you are unable to forgive in your own strength. It is a supernatural thing. It is Jesus. We just did this in the Colossians series of chapter 1:27 of the mystery of the gospel. All right, if we're gonna say this all the time, we gotta get it into the nitty gritty. You guys do your part. We are a relentless gospel NL. Forever, multi-ethnic. All right, so we're going to get to this multi-ethnic piece and forgiveness here in a second, but the gospel being the center of our church. What is the gospel? We just learned this in Colossians. We're not going to do a quiz. Chapter 1, I think verse 27. The mystery of the gospel, the hope of Christ what? In us. Thank you, Ray. Christ is in us. So it's not you forgiving. It's Christ in you doing the forgiving. If he can be on a cross and say, as he's being brutally tortured and killed, and he can say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Yes, I can't do that. You can't do that. That's not the point. The point is Jesus lives in us. The same Jesus that was on a cross forgiving people lives in you if you're a Christian. So it's tapping into that power within you. We got to stop being surprised at supernatural forgiveness. It's not the easy thing. The easy thing is to, you know, strike first, strike hard, no mercy, right? That's the easy, is to give people what they deserve, right? So it's unnatural. It is leaning on the Jesus within us that's going to cause us to do the much harder thing of living a life of forgiveness. Let me give you a really awful example of this that gets into our multi-ethnic movement. It's hard for me to believe that it's been, in 7 weeks, it'll be the 10-year anniversary of the church shooting in Charleston, South Carolina. So as we launched our multi-ethnic church in September of 2014, we were right on the heels of Ferguson, Missouri, and that whole awful thing. And then the next year, just a few hours from us in Charleston, was, you know, this young white male goes trying to kill black people, finds a church, goes into a Bible study, and kills 9 people. The next day, and it's all over the news, are these family members of the deceased going to court and looking at a TV screen and saying to this, I'm not going to say his name, saying to this young killer, I forgive you. Before he apologizes, which he still hasn't, which he shows any remorse, which he still hasn't, before he does or says anything, they say, I forgive you. I'm not carrying this. I'm releasing you of killing my father, my mother, my loved one. And I heard so many people at the time say, oh, I just could never do that. You're right. They can't either. That's Jesus being real. It's Jesus living inside of them and coming out of their mouth. You cannot explain that any other way. I'm not doing that. You kill my loved one, I'm not forgiving you ever. You're not getting that from me. Except that Jesus lives in me, and he can get me there for my good, not to get them off the hook, which we'll get to in this series, but to clean and clear my heart. It is supernatural. It is anti-everything that we know to live this lifestyle, and it is a lifestyle. So we talk about lifestyle over list. This is a lifestyle of forgiveness. This is what we do. This is how we live. And let me go back to that shooting, because it's relevant for us today. It gets me excited, not the shooting, but the multi-ethnic church and where it is today versus where it was in 2015. Not just our multi-ethnic church, but the whole multi-ethnic church movement. And our enemy, I think he messed up because he played his cards. Because the guy who did that shooting was interviewed later, and he went on record to say the goal, there's no way, I don't care what you believe, that's a demonic act. You go into a church and kill people, that's not mental illness. It's demonic, evil act straight from Satan. And he said the goal of the shooting was to start a race war. He really thought that would be the beginning of a civil war where races would come against each other in America and start to kill each other and then get vengeance and then get vengeance and then get vengeance and go on and on. He thought by 2025, oh, it would just be all like we would not even be a country anymore, that we would break apart from the inside through the race war that he started by killing those people. So we know the enemy who hates Jesus, who hates his people, who hates his church, and especially hates the multi-ethnic church. Because the unity that's coming is so powerful. We've never seen it in the history of our country. And he's playing by no rules to try to destroy this thing. And that's evidence of that. So as a multi-ethnic church, we better understand forgiveness. We got two options, Relentless Church. Let me talk to us. We got two options. One, we can be such good people that we never have to forgive each other. Look around, right? Ain't happening. Right? We're humans. We're gonna owe each other, right? We're gonna mess up. We're gonna hurt each other. It doesn't have to be, but it's part of the human existence. Our other option is we can get really good at seeing forgiveness as a weapon to protect us and to keep our unity. It's gotta be part of our lifestyle. It's gotta be normal, right? We're so insecure sometimes that we won't even admit that we did anything wrong, right? And that makes it a lot easier to forgive somebody when they'll admit they're wrong. So it's just part of our lifestyle that we're going to live. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew 6. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. It's pretty clear. But it's at least a little bit of an out, right? If I forgive other people when they sin against me, then God will forgive me. So it doesn't really say that I have to forgive them. It just says that if I do forgive them, then I'll get forgiveness. But it's not necessarily like a one equals the other. It doesn't say that. It just says if I do forgive them, then God will forgive me. But it doesn't make me forgive them as a Christian, except for the next verse. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That can't be what that says. That can't be right. I don't know how you defend your gracious, kind, compassionate God who's saying, somebody wrongs me. I didn't do anything. I'm innocent. Somebody did something to me. And if I don't forgive them, God's not going to give me forgiveness? That's jacked up. That's indefensible. I'm innocent. I'm the one that was wronged, not did the wrong. And now he's not going to give me forgiveness if I don't forgive them? How does that make sense? It must be a really big deal to God to allow his forgiveness, which is sacred and personal and precious. Why? Because his forgiveness came through the blood of Jesus. That's what bought our forgiveness. So here's what we do. We lock in on the forgiveness that we need from others, that we need to give, and we minimize the forgiveness that we need from God. That's got to be front and center. To get mad about that verse is to not understand what I've been forgiven from. We've got to be willing to not minimize how desperately we need the forgiveness of God, of what he's erased for us. What we celebrated last week, we celebrate every week. All of that is in play in this verse. Here's what it is. Here's why this is so personal to God, that he would give his forgiveness. He would gift his forgiveness to us through Jesus. And as his people, he said, this is the lifestyle. We are the filter. It's flowing through us. As it's given to us, we give it to others. We didn't deserve it. That son didn't deserve it when he got hugged and kissed and celebrated. He didn't deserve that. That same kind of backwards, messed up forgiveness is now going to flow through us. So don't be the bottleneck. Don't be the stop. As God gives and pours his forgiveness on us, that we can be clean and righteous and all the things the gospel tells us we are, that it's got to come through us. And it goes out to the people that wrong us. As God has given it to us, we give it to others. We can't be the ones that stop it. It's so important to the heart of God that he said, okay, if you want to receive it from me and not give it to others, guess what? You're not going to get it from me. I will withhold my forgiveness from you unless you let it flow through you to others. Now, that's hard, but there's freedom and beauty in that. And I'm believing that there's some people in this room that are going to be different humans in a few weeks, because somebody that you've already said out loud, I will never forgive them. And God's going to do a work in your heart. It's not going to be because of my great preaching. It's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit, something you've been saddled and caring with for decades, and you're going to let somebody go by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. And you don't even know how good life is on the other side of you forgiving someone. You have no idea. And there's spiritual warfare in that, and there'll be lies coming at you and coming at us that, oh, if I let this go, it'll be all these things. So let me give you some lies that that we're going to address specifically with church hurt, and maybe this will spawn some questions. But I just want to let you know where we're going, because that's, if forgiveness is any of these things, I'm about to tell you that it's not. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, that's just cruel teaching. If God's requiring me to forgive as I was forgiven, that's cruel unless you understand what forgiveness is and isn't. So these are the lies we're going to break down to different levels in this series. Forgiveness is between me and a human. God is not in on this, right? Obviously, God says differently just from the scripture today. This is not between me and you if you wronged me or I wronged you. God's a part of this equation. The second lie is the lie that when you forgive, you're letting someone off the hook. Right, we got to let God convince us that's not the case. The people that have wronged us, you're not letting them off the hook by forgiving them. So we're going to address that. Three, the lie that you can hold on to unforgiveness without it invading every corner of your life. Show me a miserable person, I'll show you someone struggling with unforgiveness on some level. Right? The lie is, oh, this is just me between that horrible person that did what they did. And the people in your life know it's invading who you are as an aunt, as a cousin, as a mother, as a wife, as a sister, and all these other things. It's bigger than just you and the person. Fourth lie, that we're called to be a doormat, right? People in the church really believe that. People are just supposed to run over us because we're Christians. Just let them just keep doing. That's not what we're going to learn in this series. It's not what Scripture teaches. Five, the lie that to forgive means to forget. It does not. That's not the same thing. And with that, the sixth lie is that forgiveness equals reconciliation. That in order for me to forgive somebody, I've got to be in relationship with them. You do not. And that's going to free some of you. We get any questions? We got one. It better be a good one. Hit me with it. All right, let's finish with a question. Again, if you'll do questions later in the week, that'll be awesome. It'll help me preach these other messages. So put it on the screen as you can. And how do you not let your faith and relationship with God be impacted when the pastor at another church is the one who calls the church hurt? Thank you, anonymous person, for that question, and thank you especially for the parentheses, because that could be a little awkward. What if the question said, how do you not let your faith and relationship with God be impacted when David Jones is the one who calls the church hurt? Listen, I'm going to tell you a story next week. I have caused church hurt, right? I'm not exempt, so we will get to that. I think that's best answered. I could give you the answer, but... that's the whole message last week. So some of you feel like, hey, I thought this was a church hurt series. It is, I promise. We just had to lay the foundation of forgiveness because that's more important in a way than even where we're going. It is shocking as somebody who does this as an occupation. I don't get this question as a lead pastor. When I was a youth pastor, I'd always have kids come up and say, so what's your full-time job? This is my job, and as someone who does this as a job, I have been continually shocked at the stories that are real and true of what people have been on the receiving end from pastors. Mostly verbal abuse, but sometimes physical, sexual abuse. So I think the heart of this question is your faith and relationship with God is not, you're not going to let a pastor or anybody else get in between you and God. Like they don't get to do that, right? God didn't do this to you, so there are ways of releasing and praying that you don't allow what a pastor says or does to you that they should not have. That is not on God, so it's not in your relationship with God. It doesn't have to affect your faith. Now that's a cute, quick answer. We will unpack that, and that question and the wording of it will be part of the message next week. So thank you, because it would have been a little awkward if we do a Q&A with no questions. But again, use that through the week. And just, here's how I'm going to close. I can't see what that says. Oh, yes. Welcome to Relentless is a big deal. So let me do two things. Tiffany was up here doing a wonderful job earlier. Her husband, Keenan, is a man who's probably helped park your car many times. And he wouldn't want me to say this, so don't tell him I said this. He came to me a few weeks ago. You know how blessed you are to be in a church where people don't want to miss anything, right? And our worship and the Spirit moving, it's just a beautiful thing. And he came and he's like, and he was talking to Joe Davis, who he announced as a worship leader last week. He's like, man, what do I got to do to get in here earlier? Because he's parking cars, he misses that most weeks. I said, you know what, we're going to get you some help. So if you've been around and you're ready to help us out, if you could help Keenan out, and park some cars one week so that he could be in here in church sitting beside his wife and family. He comes in, but it's just he doesn't get the beginning of the service, which some would say is the best part of a service at Relentless Church, and I'm down with that. So if you want to serve at Relentless, your first step is welcome to Relentless. So we do this a few times a year. We just ask you to come and hear what we're all about, ask questions, do all the things. It's this Tuesday night. We've got, I think, 17 open spots. It's a small, casual environment. We feed you. We provide childcare. It's not a, like, don't expect lasagna. It's food, but it's not a meal. It's your next step. If you haven't signed up, if you've never been, if you would come, if this is your first Sunday, you can come Tuesday night. We'd love to have you. We want you to sign up. We want to know that you're coming, so please, I want to invite you to that. The final thing I'm going to ask you to do is just pray with me. We have a phrase around here that we love, listen to God and do what he says. I don't know what's happened to you. I don't know what kind of hurt, church hurt that you're dealing with. There's everything in the room. There's some stuff that we would all agree is kind of part of life and maybe minor. There's also some stuff in the room that nobody with a brain would call minor. Would you just ask God to highlight something or somebody that he's drawing you to let go of over the life of this series? So I'm going to give you a second to pray that, and I'm going to pray over you, and we'll be dismissed. Father, would you just help us be honest as we search our heart, God. Search our hearts and minds. If there's somebody who's not living, that we need to let go of something, God, would you bring that name and that face that I know that's so painful, God. I pray you would just comfort and put your hand on our shoulder and help us know that this is going to lead to something that's worth the pain to get there, that you would just be who you say you are. You're a God of all comfort, and you're a God of freedom. God, I pray for freedom. We pray and sing all the time about breaking chains, but God, often we don't understand that those chains are chains of bondage because we have refused to let something go. Maybe we don't even know how. God, I pray you would give wisdom in this series to know what our next step is. I just pray that you would help us be honest with ourselves, that we would trust you with the darkest pieces of this, that we'll come out of this in a few weeks, God, as a healthier, more peaceful church. That'll be a lifestyle, that we'll be excited to forgive, to have hard conversations, that we'll just protect our hearts from any bit of bitterness that can grow so quick. God, I thank you for the question. I thank you for whoever asked it, because whoever asked it has experienced something that should not have happened. God, it was not in your will. It was not of you. God, I just pray that you would free us from all the things that have happened, protect us from things that could happen in the future, that we would be armed with the weapons of forgiveness. God, we pray for our second service. Pray for those getting baptized. Pray for those that don't even know they're getting baptized, that you would move and your power would be on display. In Jesus' name we pray and go. Amen. Hope to see some of you Tuesday night.